Hi, I'm Danae Alamano, and this is Living United.
And I'm Kev Jackson. Danae, we got a podcast about a podcast today.
Yeah, we got some science nerds in here today.
Wow. Yes, and one of them is a combination science nerd, United Way nerd.
Yeah, she is. Yep. Annie Butler-Ricks is here, along with Lee Furseth, director of the Science Center.
Well, welcome to Living United.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, Danae, we're here to kind of kick off their podcast, and I'm going to let you explain how it ties in with the United Way.
Sure. Well, United Way, Annie is in charge at United Way of Women United, a group of women who celebrate each other or celebrate accomplishments that women have had in our community, along with doing needed projects that solve community issues. And this is a fun partnership with the Science Center to be able to highlight women in science locally and their accomplishments. So we have, well, it's Lee's idea. You want to share all the details behind it? We can talk about how Annie's involved too.
I'm not going to share all the details because that would take a long time. How about a little bit of detail?
Little details, good.
Okay, that all sounds really good to me. You know, the Science Center has a long history, I think, of recognizing women in science. Yeah, I'm the executive director, but the Science Center has been around for going on 29 years, and I've been the executive director for just over three, which means the three directors of the Science Center before me were 26 years, and all three of them were women. Women of science. So we have a history of recognizing the contributions that women are making to science, and we just want to keep that work going. So the idea was, let's recognize women in science in Bemidji, Beltrami County, surrounding area. That's the idea.
And of course, Annie Butler-Ricks was one of those executive directors who now works for the United Way, but still loves her science.
I do. I wear that science nerd hat very well, along with my United Way hat. I am happy to be called that. So I have a background in chemistry and taught.
What kind of background, Annie?
Oh, I worked on renewable energy research. I got my PhD in physical organic chemistry. Really fun. I got to work in a wet lab, which is maybe what you think of when you think of scientists. You think the white coat, mixing chemicals up, occasionally exploding those chemicals, not meaning to. That kind of science. I got to do that. And then I got to work with lasers, which sounds way cooler than it is, even though it's pretty cool. And I got to work down in the deep, dark basements where I would excite molecules, pretending sort of to be the sun, and look at electron transfer, energy transfer across molecules and see how they separate and how they recombine. Obviously, I can talk about this for quite a while. So I love my chemistry. I love science. And loved being at the Science Center. And now being at United Way, I get to use my science in a different way. You look at a lot of data, a lot of analysis, a lot of what maybe our community needs, and how can we design something that works really well to help the community. And, you know, a lot of people don't think of it as science, but I absolutely love that part of it and pulling it in. And with Women United, it's wonderful because we both, as Danae mentioned, we celebrate women. And we also work on community initiatives. And so I'm excited to work with the Science Center, with Lee, on this podcast, celebrating and honoring and recognizing women in our community who are scientists.
One of the things that, you know, I'm hearing, you know, thinking about here is the world has changed dramatically. And obviously, we're with a couple of bigwigs in town who are women running this, you know, running various parts of the community. That's happening all the time. And yet, when it comes to STEM and science, there still seems to be a little something there that we have to talk about women in science to get them to realize, because it still seems to be in some ways. I think so. It might have been you, Annie, were talking about. Was it you, Lee? When kids, even girls, were drawing pictures of scientists, it was usually they were drawing guys.
Yeah, even girls. Girls did it more often. So you'd think maybe girls would be getting that idea that they could become scientists. And I think kids in particular, maybe all of us, but kids in particular look around close by to see who their heroes are. And I really do think it's a hero. And sometimes they don't recognize the hero that's right there across the table from them. And when mom has a lab coat on, that is a really strong impression that they could be scientists too. But a lot of kids miss out on that opportunity. They just don't have a chance to see in particular a woman with a lab coat on or a woman going down in the basement and messing around with, I'm not even sure what you were talking about there, because I don't really have that science background. I just know that kids look for heroes, and while they often look for a superhero, really the hero they're looking at is the one they see every single day. And when that gets to be a woman who has accomplishments, especially in the area of science, I think that's a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. So what has your experience been, Annie, in the world of science, as far as male, female, the role models that made you want to be a scientist?
That's a really good question. I had mostly male science teachers growing up in middle school, high school, and they were really what inspired me, but I didn't have a lot of women examples for me. I had a grandpa who was a scientist. I had some great teachers, but no real women that I was close to or even really saw. I grew up in a community where a lot of sort of more insular community, and just didn't see even a lot of moms necessarily working, and let alone being in STEM fields. And then I went to college and had wonderful professors, and went to graduate school, and we had a class of about 50-50 for graduate school of women and men. But I can tell you a lot of the women have left science careers because it can be hard to find jobs, and I'm probably a great example of that. It can be hard to find jobs in science when you and your partner are both working and in situations like that. And so for me, like, this isn't a way for me to still use my science. I definitely still use it at work, but just in a different way. And I'm getting to, in doing this podcast, reconnect a little bit with some of the women in our community and get to talk science. And that's really fun.
So we're going to meet scientists of the greater Bemidji area. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I think we're also going to work through that definition of scientist, because I think that can even be a barrier. When are you a scientist? I'd like to tell you that you can be a scientist the moment you start in your journey. Because if you wait until you're the end of your journey to be the scientist, then we're going to leave a lot of people behind. So can a five-year-old be a scientist? I think as soon as a person engages in science, or maybe just engages in questioning and finding the answer, I think you've now joined the science field. So we have kids at the Science Center who are scientists. And I think that can be the beginning of the journey and the beginning of knocking down those barriers. So the idea, let's go find some people who maybe you wouldn't always recognize as being a scientist, but are definitely doing science.
So what are some of those roles in our area that would be considered a science field or a scientist?
Okay, so I go off and I want to have a blood test done for whatever reason. So they're taking the blood out of my veins, and now that blood's going to go be tested for whatever. That's science to me. Somebody's looking at that blood. Okay, I'm way out of my area now because I don't even know what they look through to see my blood. But I know they're looking at the blood and they're going to test it for a whole bunch of things. They're going to come back and give me the numbers, right? Here's the following things and here's what it means. I think those people who were touching my blood, not literally, but maybe even, were scientists or are scientists. So, yeah, let's have somebody that tests the blood. Mm-hmm. Then let's go over to construction, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of blocks at the Science Center. We have lots of kids that engage in construction. Mm-hmm. That's science to me, because they're doing all kinds of mathematics, right, on their way to building a structure. And those are scientists. And so I don't know if you see the person who's got the hammer hanging off of a belt, mm-hmm. and you see that person as a scientist, but boy, they're doing all kinds of mathematics, so I see them as scientists. Yeah,
I think a lot of people, you know, think of doctors as doctors. Doctors are really scientists, right?
Yes, I think so.
It's a lot of science classes you got to take.
It's a lot of science classes. I also think, we're all parents in the room. Kids, we teach our kids a lot of things, but there's nothing better than almost like an external source trying to teach your kids something, because they just listen so much better when it's not the parent talking at them or to them, right? I just see this in my own kids a lot, that if they can see an example of someone else or of another thing, and it's just sort of that one step removed, but yet still in their community, how important that is to see and say, hey, I know a scientist. Because they know their doctor. They go to the doctor. I know a doctor. I know a nurse. I know a scientist. And that includes those doctors and nurses and includes so much more.
In addition to Annie being an executive director, Leah, I think it's pretty safe to say the Headwater Science Center would not even exist if it were not for a very passionate woman of science in the Bemidji area.
Yeah, we're talking about Lattie Elwell here. Yep. And Lattie and Jim Elwell had a vision. And I sometimes stop and marvel at the fact that they saw a storefront and said that could be a science center. I'm sure they had the dream even before the store presented itself for purchase. They were even thinking about how do we bring science to the Northwest. Now, I want you to know they probably even never said that sentence, bring science, like it didn't exist. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is given opportunities to mess around in a place that's very safe to do it, because you can do experiments in a science center and everything turns out to be absolutely fine, but a place where it was acceptable, right? Let's go there and purely experiment. I just love when kids come into the science center and I give them an opportunity and they give the wrong answer, right? Because what do you do when you get the wrong answer? Well, you now know one less right answer. You just keep right on going until you get the right answer. Jim and Lattie recognized that whole process. And so, yeah, they dreamt this thing up. Our birthday's on March 6th, so we're 29 years old on March 6th.
Oh, wow. Okay. Big celebration next year, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we'll celebrate the 29th, but then the 30th to be a nice round number. You're right.
Well, and I think it's really important to say how amazing it is. It is thanks to Lattie and Jim Elwell that we have the Science Center, but also that we continue to have it. Not very many towns the size of Bemidji have a Science Center, mm-hmm. and that is really, really important. And so I just think it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place for families. And this is this podcast will be another way to sort of expand the reach of the Science Center and a way that we can listen and support the Science Center and think about it a little bit more and what science in our area means, because it is so important.
Well, I mean, and just thinking of another podcast I do called Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, I talk to aquatic biologists, I talk to wildlife biologists, I talk to foresters, I talk to, you know, non-game wildlife people. These are all scientists, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. So it's vital, and it's really integral probably to every community in the world, obviously, but certainly in this one. So what do we envision? Who are we going to meet in the coming weeks?
Well, you're going to meet somebody who does analyze blood. That wasn't just a pull that one out of my hat. You are going to have that. And you are going to meet somebody who is an actual professor teaching at the university who cares a lot about sustainable energy. You're going to meet another teacher who spends their time teaching other people about science. I'm not sure what specific fields she'll address, but those will be the people we're meeting. There will be somebody that works for the DNR and spends time saying, here's what I do in the area of science. And I don't know exactly what she examines, whether it's deer or fish, but she does that kind of work in an area that I applaud her. That might not be an area where women are, lots and lots of women, high percentages in that particular field. So it'll be fun to visit with her. So those are some of the people that we're going to bring on to the show and have interviewed and then recognized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Annie, am I going to have to corral you people in and keep it on a level where the mere mortals can understand?
Kev, I work really hard on being able to explain the chemistry research that I do to anyone, even if, you know, some people start to phase out when I say lasers and other words. But I think that all scientists work really hard at being able to explain what they do. And so I think it's going to be easy. But you'll have to tell us how we do.
Well, I think that, when it comes to science, it just seems to me that just watching kids and remember when I was a kid, you know, you like frogs and you like stuff, you like stuff like that, right? So it kind of can be a natural for a lot of kids to kind of gravitate that way.
Yeah, it's a natural place to ask a question. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing is, and what we work hard at the Science Center to do is just don't go ahead and answer the question. I think a kid should question, I think all of us should question and question and question. And even when the answer stares you right in the face, you probably should turn it around a couple of times, ask mm-hmm. again. So that's kind of that science world.
What I love, I mean, it goes right back to science too and why you wanted to do this. It was, can I be a scientist, right? As a little girl. Yes, yes, you can. Look at all these scientists right here in our community.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to understand everything that's being said.
Yeah, how are we going to analyze whether this is successful or not? I mean, that sounds like a good...
Ooh.
Oh, like six things just popped into my head. We're fine.
Well, you know, obviously, we're just trying to... A, I can get everybody, more people interested in science, mm-hmm. Whatever genders. Mm-hmm. And obviously we want to, again, continue to break the glass ceiling, right? Or the glass door or whatever we want to call it and let everybody know, yes, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yep. And I just think to realize that science is just all around us. If we're out fishing, right, that it is there. We care about water quality, right? We care about these things. It's all around us. Wherever we are. And so let's learn a little bit more about that while celebrating and honoring women in our community.
I know that, you know, like I said, when you're a kid, you're kind of interested in all this stuff. And then it kind of, in my case, kind of faded away as I got interested in other things. Now I'm an adult and getting to be a really old adult. And I'm thinking, I get more and more interested in science. I find this more fascinating than before. And it's like, sure wish I wouldn't have lost that interest, you know, all those years ago. So I think Headwater Science Center is a great way, for example, of keeping science in front of kids in a fun way, mm-hmm. which hopefully leads to more scientists.
Well, you said it, Kevin. You're kind of back to doing all that stuff now. So I will add to the fact that we provide that exact same thing for folks who would see themselves as older than a kid. Mm-hmm. That's what they should be doing when they come to the Science Center. A really cool thing to watch, especially grandparents. I'm sure it's true of parents too, but you really do see it with grandparents. They'll come in with their child, their grandchild, and they'll be playing away the children. And pretty soon you'll see some behaviors you wouldn't expect to see out of a grandparent. And I think they're legitimately having fun. They're experiencing science right there. So mm-hmm. I think it's all ages.
I love that. I just have to share a really quick story.
Sure.
I was just on vacation. We might have hit up three science museums in the week we were on vacation.
Is that what you do on vacation?
No, but yeah. I should.
But you should, because it's amazing. Two of them we got into free with the Science Center membership. And at one of the museums, we were there on a weekday, and there was an elderly couple. And I mean, I'm guessing in their 80s. And they were at the Science Museum together by themselves. And my kids were making a ramp or something, and they asked if they could, you know, they were sort of exploring on one end, and they asked if they could, you know, interact with my kids a little bit and work together on it. And it just was the sweetest thing. And I saw them a few more times that day as they were exploring the museum. And I just thought, how mm-hmm. wonderful it is. Here they're in their 80s on a day date to the science museum together. And I just think it's wonderful. So. Mm-hmm.
As long as you're here, Lee, we probably should talk a little bit about this big event you have coming up at the end of February.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about E-Cubed. E-Cubed is going to always be on the last Saturday of February. I say that because last year we moved it to June, and I will just tell you, yeah, it was absolutely fine, but we're going back to February, and we'll be in February forever. And so E-Cubed is the last Saturday of February. It is designed to be a party, in this case, for adults. Yep, we transform our Science Center to a gala, finest dining, and all of Bemidji. Adults get to have fun for about 3 hours.
Okay. And tickets are on sale now, correct?
We have some tickets right at the front desk of the Science Center, so come and get your tickets from us. Okay. I do want you to know, so this will go into a little bit of detail for last year. We sold 50 tickets last year, so if you add in the sponsors and all of that, our Science Center had about 110 people. That was a great setting. Everybody said it was so cool because it was all smaller. So this year we're selling only 50 tickets. That's it. So it'll be smaller on purpose. If you thought about it, can we fit 110 people on the ground floor, the first floor? Yes. The answer to that is yes. So okay. Everybody who wanted to have this prime seat is going to get one this year because we're only selling 50 tickets.
So if you're thinking about it, don't think about it. Just go and buy your tickets.
Yeah, if you're the 51st ticket, there won't be one. So we're doing 50 on purpose.
Okay. Annie, any final thoughts?
I'm just really excited to do this.
Okay.
This will be so much fun. So hope people listen and enjoy and let us know what they think.
All right. Danae?
Yes.
Now you're now you not only have podcasts, you created sequels.
Only brought it up. I'm like, well, I know who's going to partner on this. Annie's going to love this. So I'm excited to learn about the women in our area too.
Okay.
I think it'll be pretty neat.
So it's Women in Science. Do we have a debut date? Are we set to go? I can't remember.
It'll be in February.
Okay.
In February.
It'll be in February. So.
And we will go from there. And I'm looking forward to sitting here and listening and maybe getting a word in and a question in now and then. And in the meantime, we'll get ready for our next Living United.
Sounds good. Thanks.
And you probably don't know who's coming in for our next Living United?
Well, I can tell you who. I don't have the date set yet. But we are going to highlight our Wheels to Work program, a new program United Way runs for our community where families who work with our 24 different partner agencies can get car repairs through a partnership with Dondelinger. So we're going to have someone from Dondelinger here to chat about how that all happened.
All right. Annie Butler-Ricks, the host of Women of Science. Lee Forseth, are you going to be a host of that too? Or
co-host?
No, I'm planning to not be here for every one of these. You can interview the women.
All right.
I think it's time to make sure we've got the spotlight on the right people.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Well, Annie, we'll see you in the studio soon. And today we'll see you in the studio soon.
Sounds great. Thanks,
Kevin.